Well, hello once again. I want to thank you first and foremost before we get into the message for inviting me to come into your worship service to be a part of your service today. Today I want to speak on the topic of Mary, did you know? And Mary plays an important role in the Word of God concerning the Christmas story. And I thought that since we're just several weeks away from Christmas, about 3 weeks or so, that it would be nice to take this message and present a Christmas message. But before we do that, let's just open with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we ask that you would bless the message. We're so thankful for the Word of God. We're so thankful for our Lord and Savior. We're thankful for every person in the Bible that helped to lead to the moment of his birth, but more importantly, we're thankful for his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, just bless our time together, for I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. I thought it would be good if we began the message by reading some scripture. And so the title of the message is Mary, Did You Know? And that comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 28. And the Word of God says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." You know, as a young boy growing up in the state of Pennsylvania, I used to love Thanksgiving at this time of year, because as students, we knew that the Friday after Thanksgiving was the official beginning of the Christmas season. At least that's what the retailers told us. Today, I look at the shopping mall crowds and I wonder, where have all these people been all year? Why do I just see so many of them here in the shopping mall that I normally go to? Why are they packed in here? I mean, think about it. At this time of year, there are traffic jams, there are no parking places, there are crowded malls, there's congested roads and highways, busy airports, neighborhood gatherings, there are office parties. The pace of life at this time of year, I believe, is dangerously fast. There seems to be no time in our so-called modern-day society for leisurely enjoying even the lights of the season. the whole world, in my mind, seems to be so much busier today than it was when I was a young boy, as Christmas approaches. And I wonder if that's how Mary and Joseph felt as they approached the outskirts of Bethlehem. As Mary and Joseph draw nearer and as they draw closer to Bethlehem, this typically sleepy Judean village has been awake for days. The mandatory census of Rome created an economic boom for the city merchants. There are thousands of new people in Bethlehem, but the little town can't process the heavy traffic. Pedestrians and mules and wooden wagons and camels and goats and baggage, lots and lots and lots of baggage. And the Bible tells us that every room in every inn is filled. Well, have you ever listened to the song, Mary, Did You Know? Mary, Did You Know is probably my most favorite Christmas song. There are lots of Christmas carols and lots of Christmas tunes and lots of Christmas songs out in the world today. But in my opinion, the song, Mary, Did You Know, comes closest to teaching us about why Christ came into the world. It asks a lot of very important questions. For instance, Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? Did you know that the child you delivered will soon deliver you? This touching song has been played for well over three decades during the Christmas season. Now, I have to be honest, I actually listened to this song multiple times throughout the year, just because it encourages me and it touches my heart and it gives me a lift. The lyrics are beautifully written and they contain powerful phrases like, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? And then, as I've already mentioned, that powerful statement, this child that you delivered will soon deliver you. This song is, in my opinion, one of the most moving pieces of Christmas music that has ever been written. It is so thoughtful and yet so profoundly accurate theologically. The song asks the young Virgin Mary some incredible questions as she holds her Creator in her arms. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? It's a beautiful song, but it's also a song that asks a singular question that is actually very easy to answer when it asks, Mary, did you know? And the answer is very simple. No, Mary did not know. There is no way that she could have possibly have known all the things that were going to occur in the life of Jesus. Yes, she knew she was giving birth to the long-awaited Messiah, but she didn't have any way of really knowing what all of that meant. Yes, she had an inkling, if you would, from what the angel Gabriel told her, that Jesus was going to be the cause of strong feelings on the part of many, even dividing groups of people, separating people. Yes, Mary had a vague idea from Anna and Simeon and what they told her 8 days after Jesus' birth, and the gift of embalming fluid, the myrrh, from the visit of the wise men some months later, that the child was born to die. Almighty God became a baby, having gone through all the natural stages of pregnancy in his earthly mother's womb. Think about that for a moment. 9 months of pregnancy, God remained in his mother's womb. To be brought forth 9 months later with the angelic visitation in the most humblest of surroundings. Think of it. The Lord of all creation honored life in all its stages by becoming an embryo, a fetus, an infant, and a child, and then grew into an adult male. And maybe if Mary was aware of the prophecies of Isaiah and other Old Testament prophecies, she knew he would give sight to the blind, he would heal the sick, he would set the captives free. But no, Mary didn't know. Mary didn't know that he would walk on water. Mary didn't know that he would feed 5,000 with a happy meal of fish and several loaves of bread. Mary didn't know that he would raise the dead. We're told in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This prophecy, like more than half of all prophecies recorded in Scripture, has already been fulfilled literally just as God said it would be. We're told in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." The Son didn't come into being in Mary's womb. He already existed before eternity began. Now think about this for a moment. Before the foundations of the world were laid by God our Heavenly Father, Jesus already existed. Mary's womb was where the eternal Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Although a child was born, the Son has always existed as the second person of the Trinity. And that's why Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 tells us that the Son was given and not born. The physical body of Jesus was born, but because he has always existed, that is why we're told in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born." There's the physical body. "Unto us a son is given." The eternal existence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The theological term for Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is incarnation, or in other words, to become flesh. When the Bible says that Mary and Joseph were betrothed, it's what we commonly think of today as an engagement. But being betrothed in the Jewish faith was far more contractually binding than a simple engagement today. If you wanted to break that engagement off, it required a certificate of divorce to do so. Betrothed couples were often referred to as husband and wife, as the Bible indicates. They didn't live together during this phase, which usually lasted about 1 year. And it was during this year of faithful celibacy that the Bible tells us Mary became pregnant. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." The Bible tells us that Joseph was a just man, and that he didn't want to embarrass Mary by making her a public spectacle, as he surely perceived, because she was pregnant, that she had been unfaithful to him. Now I want to encourage you and challenge you today not to minimize that aspect of who Joseph was. Joseph was no fool. The Bible doesn't tell us that Joseph was a naive man, a man who was willing to believe the most skeptical stories. No, the Bible tells us Joseph was a just man, not wanting to make her a public example. So, here was a man who was ready to handle this delicate situation with as much compassion as the law would allow. But even as God intervened in Mary's life, he also stepped, if you would, into Joseph's life, and he prepared him for the miraculous events that were swirling around him at that time. Whenever God begins to do something wonderful in life, that work is often accompanied by confusion and disorientation and misunderstanding on the part of others. Praise the Lord, the Bible tells us God is not the author of confusion, but I know one in the world today who loves to cause confusion. I know one in the world today who loves to cause distraction. But whenever there is confusion around the workings and ministry of God, often family and neighbors and bystanders are the publishers of it. And so I believe that is one reason that God condemns gossip in the Word of God. God hates the rumor mill. For Joseph, he was betrayed by the woman he loved. I know this because the text says he was minded to put her away privately. He didn't have to do that. He could have made this an ugly public divorce. And yet at this very time when Joseph was thinking on these things, determining should he put her away privately, Mary herself was right in the center of God's will for her life. Yes, even in that awkward, embarrassing moment, she was right where God needed her to be. She couldn't explain it. She just had to trust God. And there are times in our own lives when we can't give an explanation as to why things are happening the way they're happening in our life. We just need, like Mary, to trust God. You and I will never experience what this couple faced in their lives. But sometimes God's will put you in the most uncomfortable of circumstances in your own life before God can tell you what he's doing. And sometimes God will put you in those circumstances and not disclose what he's doing or why he's doing it. Well, Joseph must have gotten to the place where he could be alone, where he could think, where he could try and determine what is the best route for him to take in his life, where he could think and untangle the mess of what seemed to be the abrupt end of his engagement to Mary. Mary didn't know that Jesus would be crucified in front of her, and she certainly didn't know that he would rise up from the dead 3 days later. The question, however, is not what Mary did or didn't know, but how do we respond to Jesus now that we do know all of these things? How do we respond to Jesus is the most important question we'll ever make. Because that question affects our lives from today all the way out into eternity. That question is the essence of Christmas. Almighty God became a baby, having gone through all the natural stages of gestation to be brought forth 9 months later with an angelic visitation in the most humble surroundings. Think of it. The Lord of all creation honored life in all its stages by becoming an embryo, a fetus, an infant, and a child. Well, you know what that teaches me? That teaches me that all life is sacred. That teaches me that at no point in the process of conception to birth is life any more or less sacred. sovereign deity who spoke, and the world and the universe leaped into existence, now lies in a crude wooden trough beneath the very stars that he himself created. It's a wonderful, wonderful thought. You and I today, we cannot fully comprehend the essence of this miracle, the essence of this wonder. The Word of God takes us back to the conception when it teaches us that Mary, while yet a virgin, was found to be with child by the Holy Ghost. If you recall, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Word of God says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." A child is born, but a son is given. The son didn't come into being in Mary's womb, but that is where the eternal Word became flesh, the Bible teaches us, and dwelt among us. Although a child was born, the Son has always existed as the second person of the Trinity. And that's why the Son was given and not born. The song, "Mary, Did You Know?" is a stirring line of questions asked by the songwriter that causes listeners to stand in amazement at the power of our God. We don't know much about Mary herself, except that she was a virgin and was probably in her early teens. According to Luke chapter 1, verse 28, we know that she was highly favored and that the Lord was with her. Even without a stunning resume, God chose to use Mary. Sweet little Mary, who kept to herself and wasn't a big player, so to speak, in the world. But she was the one who was invited by the Creator of the universe to help change the world. Mary simply said yes to her Lord with no conditions whatsoever. Now that is faith, amen? Now let me ask you a question. Where are you right now in your own spiritual life? Are you right with the Lord during this Christmas season? How much of you have you truly surrendered to your Lord and Savior during this Christmas season? Are you living the truth that your own life is not your own and that you've been bought with a price? Is there something today that you are missing out on right at this very moment because you won't let God take the lead in your life? Do you only have the head knowledge about Jesus this Christmas season, but not the heart knowledge? Now listen to me, and I'm going to tell you the real Christmas story. You see, we have a Messiah, and his name is Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He's the Savior of the world. He walked on the water without a single bit of effort. He came and died to make us new. He gave sight to a blind man with some dirt and saliva. He woke up from a deep sleep, and the Bible tells us that he calmed the raging storm with his human hand. He fed over 5,000 people with a couple loaves of bread and some fish. He died on a cruel, cruel cross. He was dead, and he was laid in a tomb. And the Bible teaches us that 3 days and three nights later, under his own power, he rose up from the grave and he ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. He's still doing miracles and marvelous things today around the world. And he has amazing plans for your life, and he has amazing plans for my life. We celebrate Christmas today because of Easter. Jesus conquered our biggest enemy, death. Now we as Christians can truly celebrate Christmas because the tomb is empty, so that our lives can be full. Today I ask you one simple question. How do you, at this very moment, view Jesus? Mary might not have known, but now you do, and you can know him personally. When you receive him, you can celebrate. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Mary, did you know that Jesus would take care of you after he died? On the cross, the Bible shows us and teaches us that Jesus fulfilled his duty as a son. We're told in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now I want you to think about this verse for a moment. And I want you to think about that moment in time when Jesus declared this wonderful, wonderful set of directions. Mary is at the cross, and I can just see her in my mind's eye, and her heart is breaking. Can you see the affection of Jesus? In his own hour of greatest need, he thought of others. He thought of their needs. In this case, he was thinking of the needs of his mother. And he cries out from the cross, Woman, behold thy son. When Jesus spoke, he fulfilled his duty as a son. The fifth commandment states in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12, Honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus was a grown adult now. A grown adult is no longer under the authority of his parents. But the obligation to honor your parents is a lifelong obligation and a lifelong commandment. Remember, there were no social age pension checks in those days. Joseph had likely already passed away. Mary was a widow, maybe 50 years of age. That's just a guess on my part. And she was vulnerable. Who would care for her after her oldest son passed away? Just think about what Mary had already been through. She had endured the public accusations of having an illegitimate child, and she lived with that stigma all her life. She had grieved, I believe, the loss of her husband. And now her firstborn, her son, was dying the most shameful death imaginable. Death on a Roman cross. And yet at that very moment, as Jesus is up on the cross and he knows he's dying, he cared for his mother. He honored her one more time. He fulfilled his duty as a son towards her. Jesus delegated the care of his mother to John. John had a double qualification for this responsibility. First, not only was he part of the inner circle, he was perhaps the closest confidant that Jesus had in that circle. He was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Secondly, John was the cousin of Jesus. Mary, his mother's sister, was his aunt. On the cross, Jesus looked down and he saw his mother. He saw his mama. And he wanted her to be properly taken care of after he was gone. And so he designated John to look after his mother. At that point, Jesus gave John the responsibility to care for Mary the rest of her life. And this was no trivial matter. It was a responsibility that Jesus the Son took very seriously, the care of his mother. And he commissioned John to provide that care. John was to become the substitute son. It was now his task to protect Mary. It was now his task to provide for her physical needs. It was now his task to provide for her emotional needs. It was now his task to provide for her social needs. And Jesus provided for all of that on the cross of Calvary. There's no question Mary's heart was breaking as she saw her firstborn son being crucified. I mean, any loving mother's heart would break at a time like this. Any loving mother would have tears. Any loving mother would be just overwhelmed with emotion as they saw their son up on a cruel, cruel cross, dying. But as great as the suffering was for Mary, Jesus was helping her grasp the purpose of what was breaking her heart. He was forcing her, if you would, to look beyond their physical relationship. Jesus is saying to Mary, you must stop seeing me as your son. You must stop seeing me as the one that you bore and that you raised and that you followed all these years. He now wanted her to know him as her Lord. Mary was going through some emotional suffering at this time, as would any mother. Any mother would suffer for her son emotionally if they were being crucified. And yet, those emotions must be replaced by something higher, something nobler, and that was admiration. Think about this for a moment. Mary, did you know that you would see Jesus take his first breath as a baby and his last breath on the cross of Calvary? Mary lost a son to find a Savior. And that must happen in our lives too. We cannot keep Jesus in the manger. We must recognize what Jesus did on the cross. We must recognize what Jesus did 3 days and three nights in the tomb. We must recognize what Jesus did when he resurrected from the dead 3 days later. I can hardly remember a time in my life when I didn't believe in Jesus. I grew up hearing stories of Jesus. I grew up hearing about his good life. I grew up hearing about his teaching. I grew up hearing about his death on the cross and his resurrection on the third day. But one day, by the gracious working of the Spirit of God in my own life, I stopped viewing Jesus merely as a great, wonderful person. And I submitted my life to his lordship. And I embraced him as my Savior. Has that happened in your life today? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is Jesus Christ your King today? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Well, Mary didn't know everything about what the future held for her. She didn't know everything about the future of her unborn baby, but she trusted God enough to let him take the lead in her life. So how about you this morning? Where do you stand when it comes to allowing God to take the lead in your own life or the life of the church? One of the greatest gifts that you can give God this Christmas season is your own faithfulness, regardless of your life circumstances. Remember, as you drive throughout the busy city streets and you see all the signs of the commercial Christmas with all the noise and all the crowds and all the hassles, that this is precisely the way it was in the little town of Bethlehem, the night on which Jesus Christ was born. Same noisy crowds, same congested streets, they were all converging on the city for a census. And the sign, the world continues to hang outside where everyone can see today, still reads, "No room. No room for Jesus." So I want to challenge you today to make room for your Savior this Christmas. He came to earth with the living word that should set his people free. But with mocking scorn and with the scorn of thorn, we bore him to Calvary. Let's just take a moment, and I'd like to actually play the song, "Mary, Did You Know," for you to end this message. It is time for those of us who are Christians to remind the world that he came to save his people from their sins. And for that reason, And that reason alone, there must always and forever be room for Christ at Christmas. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the real Christmas story that Mary wants you to know. God bless you, and I pray you will have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.